Okay, today we're reviewing the Drusha Shishi and the Drusha Saran, the sixth Drusha. It says Drusha and Tshuva. The round starts off with the Psukim in Micha. The Psukim say the following: how will I come before you, Hashem? Ha'akan menu ba'olos ba'agolam b'nei shanosh, I come before you with calves, first year. Ha'yirtz Hashem ba'alfa yelim, do you want thousands of rams? B'rivavos nachle shemen, tons of rivers of oil. Ha'atein b'chori pishi, should I give my firstborn son for my Aver, for my sins, pre-vitni, chatas nafshi, or my other children, for my sins? And Hashem responds, no, I don't need any of that. Hashem says, I'll tell you what's good and what I want from you. Ki masos mishpat, just to do mishpat, proper judgments, vavas chesed, and loving of kindness, vatznea lecha simel kacha, and walking with tznias with Hashem. Okay, so the round starts off with the following. The Mishnah says, Reb Chanan ben Akasha, Meir Ratzah, Kadosh Baruch Hu, Zakat Yisrael, Fika Chir Balan Torah Mitzvos. Reb Chanan ben Akasha says, Hashem wanted to give merit to the Jewish people, therefore he gave them a lot of Torah and Mitzvos. So the Rambam says, what that means is as follows. Any one mitzvah that a person does in their life, any one mitzvah done ever, properly, is enough to get Olam Haba. Therefore, Hashem gave us tons of mitzvahs, so at least one of them will do one once right. We'll do one mitzvah properly once in our lives, and we'll get into Olam Haba. So that's the purpose of giving us so many mitzvahs, because even by doing one mitzvah once properly, it's enough to get into Olam Haba. And he proves this, because the Gemara in Tainus says that Rabbi Chanan ben Trajan says, asked someone, will I get into Olam Haba? And the person responded, did you ever do any exciting mitzvahs? Did you ever do a klum maisa bali yadcha? Did you ever do anything special? And he responded, yeah, once I got my different monies mixed up and I didn't really have to give it all to tzedakah, I gave it all to tzedakah. And he said, oh, okay, then you're going to Olam Haba. So the Rambam learns from here that you see, if you do one mitzvah, it's enough to get into Olam Haba. So the Rambam says, that's a very nice idea. I like that idea a lot. I don't think the proof of the Rambam is a proof. He doesn't think that's the right pshat in the Gemara about Rabbi Chananya ben Trajan. And he says that the story about asking him whether he ever did a mitzvah, he wasn't asking him, did he ever do a mitzvah? Of course he knew he did mitzvahs. He was just trying to ask him, have you ever done a mitzvah that shows your great love for Hashem, that shows what a tzaddik you are? And he said, well, once I gave tzedakah, I didn't really have to. And he says, oh, that shows that you're a person who really loves mitzvahs, and therefore I know you get into Olam Haba. So he doesn't think it's a proof, but he likes the idea that through doing one mitzvah, it's possible to get into Olam Haba. He likes the idea mostly. The Ran doesn't completely agree with it. He says, it's true. There are some mitzvos that are important enough that through doing just that one mitzvah, a person can get into Olam Haba. However, not all mitzvos are the same. Some mitzvos have more reward and some have less. And the Ran says it's possible that there are mitzvos out there that even if you did them correctly, you would still not get into Olam Haba. It would just be enough that you'd get paid in Olam Hazeh. Again, I'm not sure how the Ran works. You know, the Mishnah says, Schar mitzvah by Schar mitzvah b'hayal maleka, Mara says, that there's no such thing as getting paid for your mitzvahs in this world. So I don't know how he understands that, but maybe it's only going on some mitzvahs. Either way, the Ran says that different mitzvahs are different, and it's possible that not every mitzvah would be enough with that mitzvah alone to get into Olam Haba. But there are certainly some mitzvahs out there that would be enough to get you into Olam Haba. And the Ran tells us that the reason the Torah didn't tell us the reward for mitzvahs is exactly that point. Because if everybody knew which were the important, the ones that had more reward, and which were the ones that had less, so then we'd all run to do the mitzvahs that had the most reward. The Torah tells us the different punishments for averos, so we know which ones are the more serious ones. But for mitzvahs, the Torah doesn't tell us which are more important and which are less, which have more reward and which have less, because the Torah wanted us to run after all of them, so that we will get the full level of perfection in our souls, because we don't know which are the important ones, so we have to do them all. That's what the Torah wanted. As time went on, however, David HaMelech, let's say, saw that his generation was not as big tzaddikim as they should be, and he said, and the Gemara says that David Hamidah Na'alachas Shrei, David knocked it down to 11, took 13 and knocked it down to 11. What does that mean, he knocked it down to 11? Certainly doesn't mean David HaMelech got rid of 602 mitzvahs. It means that David told everyone, I have a Kabbalah, I have a Mesorah, that there are these 11 mitzvahs are the ones that have the most schar. So he told his generation that, because at least they would run after those 11 mitzvahs, because he saw his generation was not properly running after mitzvahs. So he told them, I'll tell you a secret, these are the 11 that are most important. And then as time went on, Yeshaya saw his generation was on a lower level. He knocked it down to six. He said, these are the six most important. Then Micha, that's the psukim we read at the beginning, Micha knocked it down to three. That's Asos Mishpat, Vavas Chesed, Vatznei Aleches. Micha knocked it down to three mitzvahs, and he says, these are the three you should do. But all of them were just trying to show them, you know, tell their generations, at least do these. These are the most important. Because there are different schar, different rewards for different mitzvahs. Okay, so now the Ran just briefly explains what those three mitzvahs that Micha mentioned are. Avas Chesed, Asos Mishpat is having proper courts, that people are judged properly in terms of their monetary dealings. People deal with each other properly in a financial sense. Vavas Chesed, they love kindness. Zugamilas Chesedim, the Ran said, you know, according to the Gemara, that's doing kindness to people. Vatznei Aleches, so the Gemara says, what does it mean to walk with Tznius with Hashem? Zuo Tzasameis Vachnasas Kala. The Gemara says that refers to burying someone, going to the Levaya, and a wedding. The Gemara says, "Velo dvarim kavachomer." It's a kavachomer. Things that are meant to be done in public should be done with tznias. So certainly, things that are meant to be private should stay very private. So the Ran says, what the Gemara wanted to tell you with this was, is that even things that are meant to be done publicly, like a wedding, even those have to be toned down. They have to be done with tznias, and that's the proper way to do them. Okay, now the Ran returns to the psukim. Again, we said, psukim talk about, should I offer you Hashem my firstborn son, thousands of karbanos. So the Ran wants to explain where that's coming from. So the Ran says, the whole world is, of course, completely Hashem's kindness. Hashem didn't owe us anything. He created us to do kindness to us, so we owe Hashem everything. And from the great kindnesses that Hashem does is that He does not ask us to do things that are incredibly difficult and bitter, like sacrificing your son, like some people did to Avodah Zarah. Hashem's Avodah Tas is beautiful and wonderful and nice. And not only that, He's super chesed is that when a person sinned, Hashem created this thing called tshuva, that a person can get his or her sins wiped away without doing anything particularly difficult. All they have to do is just stop doing the sins, admit they were wrong, and accept upon themselves to not do it again in the future. That's it. That's all tshuva is. And that's enough for a person to be forgiven. So that's, you know, if a person thinks, what should have been, what would you think would be necessary if a person sinned? So really, since the whole purpose of this world is to get close to Hashem and to do His mitzvos, and that's the purpose of all creation, and that's eternity. So one would think a person should be willing to give up absolutely everything that they could possibly have to return to Hashem. And that's what the pasuk was saying. What should I give? My firstborn son, all my money, all these thousands of karbanos, anything would be, you would think you'd have to give all that for Hashem to make it like your avirus are gone, and this separation that you created through your sins would go away. And Hashem says, I don't require that. That's the great chesed of tshuva. It's not required. That's what Hashem says. I don't need any of that. I just need you to do mitzvahs properly. Do chesed, do kindness, do judge properly, and walk with tznias. Okay. So, while tshuva is very, relatively speaking, very easy, that's good for the people who want to do tshuva. It's actually bad for the people who don't do tshuva. It's worse. The fact that it's so easy to do tshuva makes it worse for the Rishayim. Because why didn't they do tshuva? They could have so easily gotten out of the pit they dug for themselves by just not doing it again and feeling bad about it and accepting upon themselves to not do it again. So that's all you need to do. So then it's like an extra here that they don't do tshuva. And he says that to the Gemara, and Sukkah says that when Mashiach comes, they'll see the Rishayim, it'll appear to them the Yitzhar was like a very thin string. And that means because it was so easy for them to have done tshuva that they'll see how easy it was and they'll feel bad about it. So the Ran says that's what the Navi in Hosea also says. It's also Haftar we all know from Shabbat Shuvah. Shuvah Yisrael, Hashem Elokecha, ki chashalta ba'avanecha. Hashem says, do tshuva, because you have sinned. K'hoi machem dvarim, v'shuvu al Hashem, imroi ilav kaltisa, avan v'kach tov, v'nasham v'parim s'vaseinu. All you need is words. You just need to say, to feel bad, to say that you admit that you did wrong, and to not do it again. And then the pasuk continues, erpa m'shuvasam, O Havim Nedava, Kishava Pimimeno, that Hashem says when you do tshuvas, and then I will love you as a donation. What does it mean as a donation? It's like we said till now, that if you want to go with what should have been is it's impossible to do tshuva, or if you want to do tshuva, you'd have to do all kinds of crazy stuff and give everything you possibly own to show how bad you feel. And none of that's necessary. A person just needs to regret, not do it again, and admit that they did wrong. So that's a donation. It's like Hashem gave us a gift. That's a donation that Hashem is willing to get rid of the avira just from that. Then the pasuk continues in Hosea, "Michacham yevein eile navon v'yadeim ki yisharim derechei Hashem." The ways of God are straight. Tzadikim yelchubam, the righteous walk in them. Uposhim yikashlubam, and sinners will trip in them. So what does that have to do with tshuva? We just said you should do tshuva; it'll be great. When you do tshuva, then it says the ways of God are straight. Tzadikim walk in them, and rishayim trip in them. So it's again, the Ran explains this based on what he said. Since it's so easy to do tshuva, the Yisharim Darchei Hashem, Hashem's path is so straight, it's so easy, just walk it. So the tzaddikim walk in it, they do tshuva, and the poshim, they trip in it. Why do they trip? If the path to tshuva would have been all crooked and difficult, so then at least the Rishayim would have said, look, I would have liked to do tshuva, but it was too hard. But here Hashem made it so easy. So the fact that it's easy, the Rishayim trip in them. And then in other words, it's a bigger aver, the fact that they didn't do tshuva. Okay. Now the Ran says that sometimes we see bad things happening in faraway places, like we see tragedies in faraway lands, or earthquakes, or wars, or death, whatever you see, horrible tragedies happening in faraway places. We should know that that's Hashem's way of warning us. It's Hashem's trying to wake us up to tshuva. And if, the Ran says, if the Jews don't do tshuva, so then it gets closer and closer and closer until if the Jews don't do tshuva, the punishment, chalila, would chas v'shalom come to them. And then the Ran says, and then when something bad happens, then they should, the Jewish people, it's like they were warned, it's like they had Asra, they were warned beforehand, you know, if you don't do tshuva, this will happen, and they did it anyway, so then that's what happens. The modern-day equivalent of that, like we mentioned last time, would be like ISIS. Today we see all the tragedies, the terrible things happening to other people in faraway lands or in ISIS-controlled areas. We see the terrible, terrible things happening there. It's not for them, it's for us. It's to wake us up, to do tshuva. It's Hashem's warning. Look, there's evil out there. Do tshuva now so that this chas v'shalom shouldn't come to you. And hopefully we'll get the message and know and all, only good should happen to Klal Yisrael. So the Ran says that when we see tragedies happening to the Goyim or in other places, that's a time for us to do tshuva and to check our souls. And he says to be more focused on the healing of your soul than the healing of your body. Ran says, why is that? Because when a person has two things going, two sicknesses, let's say, there's some chas v'shalom sick with two sicknesses, they have to decide which should they attack first, which should they address first. So, the sickness, the Ran says, a person look at three things. Number one, which sickness is worse? The one that's more dangerous, obviously you should go after that one first. Second, is there a disease that is causing the other disease? Now, this person has two diseases. First, which is more serious? Secondly, is one disease the cause of the second disease? So then you have to go after the root cause. Thirdly, will one disease not get cured until you cure the other disease? So the Ran says, all those three things apply to the soul versus the body. If the soul is sick, so that's the more dangerous sickness, because obviously, a person's soul is more important than their body because their soul is for eternity and the body is only here for a while. So it's much more important to save the soul. But also, if you don't save the soul, the body won't get saved. And the Ran proves this from the famous story of Rabbi Hanina ben Doza. The story of Rabbi Hanina ben Doza is that there was this snake that was going around killing people. And Rabbi Hanina ben Doza said, don't worry, I'll take care of it. Rabbi Hanina ben Doza goes up to the snake's den. He sticks his leg in front of the den. The snake comes out. Snake bites his leg, and the snake dies. So Rabbi Hanina ben Doza picked up the snake. He brought it to the Beis Medrash and said, see everybody, it's not the snake that kills, it's sin that kills. So you see, when a person's soul is on a very high level and they're completely clean from sin, then even physical things can't harm them. So by healing the soul, a person can heal the body. And then the Ran says something very important. Do not think this is a story just about Rabbi Hanina ben Doza, and that what I just told you is only relevant to super big tzaddikim. That if you're on a really high level and your soul is really clean, then then it'll help protect you from physical things. But if you're not on such a high level, it's irrelevant. Ron says, absolutely not. It's not all or nothing. He says, just like a very healthy person, someone who's young, in shape, eats right, they're very healthy, they don't usually get sick that often. People who are the opposite, old, immunocompromised, they get sick all the time. People in the middle are in the middle. Sometimes they get sick from when they're exposed, sometimes they don't. So the same thing he says is with the soul. If your soul is on the super high level of Rabbi Chanina ben Doza, then you're right, then no physical disease will ever hurt you. But if you're on a lower level, so it won't protect you completely if your soul is not completely clean, so then you won't be protected from everything, but it'll protect you somewhat. If your soul is on a somewhat of a level, then it'll protect you from certain certain physical diseases. So it's not all or nothing, it's on levels. So if you're a certain level tzaddik, so then, you know, wherever you're holding, however clean your soul is, it protects you to that level from physical things. Okay? And this is what the Torah tells us. It's in Shmos, Perek Tesvav. Torah says, Hashem says, if you listen, or Moshe says, if you listen to the words of Hashem, and you do what's right in God's eyes, and you listen to Hashem's mitzvahs, and you keep all of God's commandments, then all the diseases that I put in Mitzrayim, I will not put on you, because I am Hashem who heals you. So based on what we just said, the Ron is now going to explain this, but as you'll see, he has to back up a little. So the Ron says, a lot of people do not understand this pasuk. The pasuk says that if you keep all of the mitzvos, you do everything you're supposed to do, then Hashem will make it that you don't die of horrible disease. So it sounds strange, like that's it? That's the reward? If you keep everything, keep all the mitzvos, Hashem will just not kill you with some horrible disease? That's the best? I mean, you would think it should be like, you know, you got something wonderful. Not, you won't get killed with a horrible disease. So, the Ran says, if you want to know what the Pshat is, you have to look back a few psukim. A few psukim before, it talks about the Jewish people. They did not have water. And they came to Marasa, and there was bitter water, and they complained. And it says, Vayitzak el Hashem, Vayareu Hashem, Eitz, Hashem showed them a tree, Vayashlech el Hamayim, and they threw this branch or tree to the water, Vayimtku Hamayim, and the water got sweet, Sham Sam Lo Chokum Mishpat, there Hashem gave them the Torah and the mitzvos, Visham Nisahu, and there he tested them. So the Ran says, what is this test exactly that the pasuk is referring to? Because the Ran says, Hashem only gives tests for one of two purposes. Either to help out the person who got tested, meaning Hashem only gives a test to someone who's going to pass that test. And when if a person's a tzaddik, and they never have the opportunity to show their tzidkus because they've never been presented with a difficult situation. But Hashem knows if presented with a difficult situation, they would be victorious, they would do the right thing. So then Hashem gives them that test so they can get the schar for that mitzvah of doing the right thing, doing the mitzvah even in a difficult time. Like what happened to Avram. Avram was given his 10 tests because Hashem knew he would pass them. The other reason Hashem gives the test, says the Ran, is to show people what a big tzaddik this guy is, and to show people what it means to truly love Hashem, so that they should learn from him and notch up themselves. So the Ran says, if that's all true, then how is this a test? Whatever the test was, they didn't have water, and they had bitter water. So, and they complained to Moshe, and they said, what are we going to drink? So they failed the test. So the Ran just told us Hashem gives the thing when it's called a test, it's for the reasons he just said, to help out the person who's being tested. But here, the person failed. So it didn't show anybody anything good. The person ended up worse than they were. So how could it be a test? So the Ran says, the test is not going on what happened to the Jewish people. The test is going on with the pasuk, the words before it that says, Sham Sam Lo Chokum Mishpat. There Hashem gave them the Torah, B'Sham Niso, and there Hashem tested what? Not the Jewish people, Hashem tested the Torah. What does that mean? It means Hashem told them, if you keep the Torah mitzvahs, it will protect you. You'll get good in this physical world, you'll get good. The Torah will help you out in this world. And here's the test. You had bitter water. And Hashem told them to throw into the bitter water this piece of wood. And the Gemara tells us it was hardufni, which is super bitter. When you throw a super bitter piece of wood into bitter water, it should get even more bitter. And it had the opposite effect. This wood went in and made the water sweet. Why is that? So it's because the mitzvah. Hashem told them to do it, therefore the mitzvah that they did made the water sweet. So Hashem was trying to show them, you see, if you keep mitzvos, then the mitzvos protect you. The mitzvos will save you and they'll help you out. And it's not, we're not, the Jewish people are not limited to the physical world. If you follow Hashem mitzvos, it will protect you in this world. So that's what it means. Hashem tested the Torah. It proved to you, Hashem proved that the Torah will protect you even in the physical world. So that's what it says. That's why the next pasuk is, Hashem says, if you keep the Torah, you will be saved from all sickness. That's the point. It means because the Torah will protect you even in this world. So then the Ron just needs to explain what are the last three words, because I am Hashem who heals you. Again, the pasuk said, if you keep all the mitzvos, no disease will come to you, because I am Hashem who heals you. So the Ron just wants to know, how could you talk about healing? You just said, I'm not going to get sick. If I'm not going to get sick, I don't need to be healed. Healing is someone who is sick, you heal them from their sickness. So what does it mean? If you keep the Torah, Hashem will not let you get sick, because I am Hashem who heals you. So the Ron says, what that means is that, because regular healers, regular doctors, they're not healing because they get rid of the disease from existing. They give you a certain medicine that in the physical world has the properties that it gets rid of the disease. It's not because they actually control the disease and get rid of disease. It's they can use physical things that will kill the disease or get rid of it. Hashem is different. Hashem is the true healer. Hashem makes it that the disease isn't there. It's gone. It never happened. So that's what it means, because if you do mitzvos, it will protect you from physical illnesses. Because I am Hashem Rafecha means Hashem is saying I'm not limited to the physical world. I am the true healer. I create disease and get rid of it. So if you keep the mitzvos, disease will not come to you. I'll make it that disease doesn't come because I am Hashem the true healer. Okay, the Ron says this is also similar to the story of the bronze snake put on the pole. And that story is, if you recall, that the Jewish people were complaining about the man. They were sick of the man. And they said, well, you don't want this man anymore. And Hashem sent these snakes in the desert to bite them and kill them. So the Ron says, why snakes? Because they were speaking Lashon Hara. They spoke Lashon Hara about Hashem and Moshe. And there was no real purpose in their complaints. It's not like they were missing water or food. They just were not interested in man anymore. They wanted better food. So that's not a real complaint. So that's like the Nachash. It's like the snake. The snake is always the Baal Lashon Hara, the one who's represents Lashon Hara, because the snake, the Gemara says, bites not because it needs to eat, it bites because it wanted to bite. So too, the Baal Lashon Hara, it's not like you got anything from it, you just enjoy saying the Lashon Hara. So too, Jewish people were speaking Lashon Hara for no real purpose. So that's why Hashem sent snakes against them. Fine. Once they do tshuva, so Hashem tells them, Hashem tells Moshe, you should make this bronze snake, put on a pole, and people look at it, and they'll be cured. So the Ron says that the Ramban says that really, if a person's sick from being bitten by a snake, staring at a snake, you would think would hurt them and not help them. I guess a similar concept would be if a person ate spoiled something, and then they're feeling really sick, and then you give them, oh, let's stare at it some more, you'll feel even sicker. So you would think if you got bitten by a snake, staring at snakes would not make you feel better. So that's the point. That was exactly the point, to show them, again, that it's the mitzvah that saves them. It's when they cured their souls from Lashon Hara, when they did tshuva, and they felt bad about their saying Lashon Hara, and they accepted to not do Lashon Hara again. So then when they did Hashem's mitzvah to look at the snake, so even though that should have had the opposite effect to make them worse, it actually made them better, because, again, same idea, if a person keeps the mitzvahs, it will protect them, even if it doesn't make sense in the physical world. Okay, and the writer here says also you could see from here how great an individual tzaddik can be, that he can be equal to the whole world. Because the story with Rabbi Chanina ben Trajan, that he had a story that happened to him that was almost greater than what happened to the whole Jewish people. The whole Jewish people, they were sick, and they looked at the snake, and they got better. And he, not only that, he killed, when Rabbi Chanina ben Trajan went up to the snake, he killed the snake, whatever. Anyway, he's saying how great, and the Ran is saying, we see how great high level a person can reach. They can reach such a high level that they'll even kill a snake just because their soul is so lofty. And that he says that's what Chazal tell us. Kizek al adam, shakal zek neged kol olam. They could have a person that the whole world was created just for that one person. As it says, you could have a person that the whole world is created just to be give him company. So the Ran is just giving Musar. He's saying a person can reach very high levels, that the whole world was created just for them. And if a person thinks about that, they should realize, maybe I should stop being such a low person and just, like he says, an animal, like a bull or a cow eating grass. You know, we're not animals. We should get out from our physical things and try to reach higher levels. Okay, now the Ran says something absolutely critical. And if you listen all this Drushas Haran, just to hear this point, it would be worth it. This is a very important thing. The Ran says, if a person will think that they can't reach high levels of spirituality, they can't get close to Hashem, unless they're very smart and know Shas by heart, know great amounts of Torah. Maybe you'll think that. The Ran says something very important. He says, let me tell you something. Learning Torah is the most important mitzvah. That's 100% true. Chazal tell us Hashem was mevater on Avodah Zarah, Gilei Raya, Shvichas Damim, and not on Talmud Torah. It says the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Alozav Mes Torasi. He says Torah is, of course, the most important mitzvah. However, says the Ran, he says, I'll read his words because they're so important. Mi Shemoser Gufo V'Nafsho LaHashem Yisbarach. Someone who gives over their body and soul to God. V'choshek b'avodaso, and desires God's avoda, meaning a person is really into doing mitzvos, not just that they do them, they're into them, they choshek, they desire to do mitzvos. Their whole body and soul is given over to mitzvos, and they love it, they're very much want to do Hashem's avoda. Then, yasik madrega gedola yoser mishiyah b'tachlas achachma, they will reach a higher level than someone who's at the greatest level of wisdom. Now again, I didn't say the greatest Talmud Chacham, because the Talmud Chacham, most of them are, fit that category, that are trying to reach high levels. I'm saying if a person just learned Torah versus someone whose whole life all they want to do is Ratzon Hashem, and they're actually doing it at their level, so let's say you're not very smart, and you learn as much as you possibly could, but so you're not the Gadol Hador because you're not so smart. But if a person's whole life is given over to Ratzon Hashem, and that's all they do is God's will, they can reach a higher level than someone who doesn't have that and just has Chachmas HaTorah. Like it says, he quotes a Gemara. Gemara says in Brachos, it says these two, I think it was Tanayim, I don't remember. Anyway, they said to each other, why is it that earlier generations had miracles happen to them and we don't have miracles happen to us? And the answer was, Rachman Alibabai, because they had more pure hearts. So you see that the main thing is your kavanah, what's in your heart. Not so much what you do or say, but what's in your heart. The Ran says that great line, that the ein ikar maisa mitzvos hakashas hasvarim, the main point of mitzvos is not to knock your lips together. When we daven, if you're davening, you go ba 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 with no brains involved, you're missing the point. That's not the point of mitzvos. Yes, you need to do that, but the point, the goal is to have kavanah, to have in mind, have a heart that's connected to Hashem, and to pay attention to what you're doing. So, the Ran says, and the difference between someone whose head is in the right place, wants to do mitzvos, and someone who doesn't, is that a person whose whole life is all doing the will of God, that's all they do, they learn Torah every possible second they can, and then when they're working, or they're doing other things, it's because they need to do it, and then the whole time they're doing that work, they're at their job, it's considered a mitzvah, because that's all they want to do is the will of God. They need to go to work to make money. So then the whole time they're there at work, they're thinking, I'm doing the will of God. I'm doing what Hashem wants. But as a person who's the opposite, who doesn't have kavana for Hashem, and they're just doing mitzvahs because they're in the habit, but they don't think about God much at all, ever, so then when they do mitzvahs, it's kind of like an avera. Even their mitzvahs are a bit of an avera, because they don't think about Hashem at all. I don't mean it's an avera, their mitzvah. The person has to do mitzvahs either way. But there's a certain amount of rebelliousness in that when they're doing mitzvahs, they're not thinking about Hashem. That itself is a type of rebellion against Hashem. So anyway, so kavanah is critical. Having a person's mindset that the only thing they want to do is rest in Hashem, which happens to be, for a man, learning every possible second. But the point is, they do whatever they're supposed to do. Whatever Hashem would want them to do, that's what they're doing. And if it means, now I need to do chesed, that's what they're doing. If it means, now I need to help out, now I need to go to work, that's what they're doing. And that's the main thing. And the person who's there, truly, wants to do Hashem's will and is doing it at all possible times, they reach a higher level than even someone who knows Shas or whatever, some very great, wise person. And he says, this is where people make mistakes, like they see the story, like he says the story of Yaakov. It says, Vayivatzer Yaakov Avado, and Chazal tell us he stayed behind for his small jugs. He left behind small jugs, and he went back to get it. So he says, if you don't know Yaakov, they could say, oh, you see, Yaakov was, he was into money too. He was very obsessed with his money. That's why he went back for even small jugs. And they don't understand. Tzadikim, when they do things, everything they do is because Hashem would want them to do it. And Yaakov had a reason why he wanted to go. Chazal tell us, because Yaakov never... he was so careful with every dollar he spent, so everything he owned was so precious to him. Whatever the part was, Yaakov Avinu's whole life was just what Hashem wanted. And we have to understand that when you see the same action done by two different people, they may be thinking very different things. When you see Yaakov going back for money, it's not because he's into money, it's for spiritual reasons, whereas someone else, it might be for other reasons. And the Ron says it's similar to two doctors. How do you know who's a good doctor and who's a bad doctor? If you're not a doctor yourself, it's impossible. You know, we all, when we try to find doctors, we try to find ones that have rave reviews and have been successful, but we ourselves, how do we know? They look the same, they talk the same, they both prescribe. We don't know the difference. You know, they may mix different concoctions. If, you know, you go to a doctor and he says, oh, we try a little bit of this and a little bit of that, try taking this medicine, a little bit of that medicine, show up, the next doctor says, no, I would use a little bit. You know, we don't know what's right. So, but the actions of a good doctor and a bad doctor look exactly the same. The difference is, the doctor with the right kavanos, meaning with the right thought patterns, who's thinking correctly, will do things properly, and that will help the world, and the doctor who doesn't think properly will mess stuff up. Anyway, so too the Ron says, just like kavana is critical when doing mitzvos, that being spaced in and having intention when you're doing mitzvos is critical, so too by thought is critical when it comes to Averos too. And that's what he quotes the Gemara that says, Huri Avera Kashmi Avera, that the thoughts of sin are worse than the sin itself. What does that mean? So he says, the Rambam says it means that if a person sins with their body, they're sinning with a low-level thing. When they sin with their thoughts, that's a higher-level part of the person. That's why thoughts of Avera are worse than the Avera themselves. That's the Rambam's shot. The Ron disagrees. The Ron says, no, that's not what it means. It means that if a person does an Avera constantly, it means that they don't care at all about Hashem. If they do an Avera once, twice, okay. But if they're consistently doing an Avera and never trying to do tshuva, so then that means there's something wrong with what they... It means they don't fully believe in Hashem. They don't fully believe that there'll be a punishment for them, one day at least. And that thought is worse than the Avera itself, because that's a little bit of kfira. So that thought is worse than the Avera itself. That's how the Ron explains also in the Gemara that says, "Ein adam over Avera lem kein nichnas abara ruach shtus." A person doesn't do an Avera unless a ruach of shtus, a momentary stupidity comes into them. What's the stupidity? Or what's the shtus? So in this drasha, the Ron says, the shtus is the kfira. It must be a bit of kfira goes into them. In a different drasha, the Ron had told us that it meant that a person would have to be nuts to do an Avera. That's what it means. So if you believe in Hashem, to do an Avera, again, consistently without ever trying to do tshuva, means either you're nuts or you're a kofir, one or the other. Either way, that's the point. That's why the thought of Avera is worse than the Avera itself. Anyway, the Ron says, the main thing about mitzvahs v'averos is what's going on in your head. So, that's why the Ron says, that's the pasuk goes on and tells us, goes on, the pasuk in Yeshaya. The pasuk says, Vayaba Yomahu, it'll come a day, La Yosef, Ot Sher Yisrael, Platis, Beis Yaakov, Yeshaya, Al Makeu. Jewish people will stop leaning on the thing that hits them. Venishan Al Hashem, Kadosh Yisrael, Be'emes. They rather will rely on Hashem, Be'emes, with truth. What does it mean to rely on Hashem with truth? So he says that this is, as to explain this is the story of Avram and the Akedah. He says, according to the Ron, Hashem never commanded Avram to bring Yitzchak for Akedah Yitzchak. He didn't command him that he must bring his son as a karban. The pasuk says, Kach na es bincha, please take your son. It means it wasn't a commandment that he absolutely had to do. It was a request. God was requesting. I would prefer, it's my ratzon that you bring a karban. But, says the Ron, had he not brought his son, and Hashem said, I'm sorry, had Avram said, you know, you promised me that I would have Kibi Yitzchak Yikarei L'Chazara, that I would have future generations through Yitzchak. And as it turns out, you're telling me now to kill him. So I don't agree. I'm not going to do it. The Ran says Avram would have been punished if he would have said that. So it's really, it was Avram, because he loved Hashem so much, because he wanted to do what God wanted, that he offered his son as a karpon. So he says that's called relying on Hashem Be'em. It shows someone who's willing to do that shows that they're not being physical at all. They're totally connected to Hashem. They rely on Hashem completely. Okay, and the Ran says that we learn a lot of things from this story of Avram. One is how far a person's love of Hashem can go. Two, that there's obviously a Olam Haba, because if Avram must have known there was an Olam Haba. In other words, if Hashem would tell you, you know, go sacrifice your firstborn and my reward to you will be you'll be very rich, or you'll have everything you want in this world, there's nothing anybody would want in this world. It's not worth it. Right? So it must be that Avram knew that there was no Olam Haba, and that, you know, he would get his reward in the next world. Also, you see that Avram, that the Nevuah, when a person gets prophecy, they must be very sure, because if Avram wasn't very sure that it was Hashem talking to him and exactly what Hashem wanted, he never would have done it. So it must be, again, number one was that it shows you how much love of Hashem a person should have or could have. Number two, that Nevuah is very clear and you'll never have a doubt. And number three, that there's an Olam Haba. Okay. Either way, this is what we term as someone who relies on Hashem be'emes. So the Pasuk again is telling you that in the future, the Jewish people will stop relying on what hits them and rather rely on Hashem be'emes. In all cases, they'll rely on Hashem. But now the Ran wants to explain, what does it mean they'll stop relying on the thing that hits them? So the Ran says very beautifully. He says if a person's being whipped, you know, they went to court for some, they were accused of some crime, judge judged them as guilty. Now, we'll just call him the executioner, is given the guy in charge there is given a whip, and he's supposed to whip you. And this guy doesn't want to get whipped, he doesn't want the pain, so he starts talking to the whip and saying, "Whip, please don't hit me." So what is that? It's a complete waste of time. The whip can't help you. Okay, so let's see, take a step back and go, okay, guy holding the whip, please don't whip me. The guy holding the whip is doing his job. That guy can't help you either. The only thing he can do is not hit as hard. So he can help you a little bit. He won't hit as hard if he likes you. But he can't really help you all the way. He can't not give you those lashes. He's got to do his job. You go a step back. Judge, don't whip me. The judge, now, maybe the judge can pull shtick and get you out of the, if he wanted to, maybe he could get you out of the guilty verdict and make it that you don't get whipped. You go back to the president, the king, they can pardon you. They really can get you out of the situation. So the point is, the further back you go to the real source, then you're more likely to get help. But if you sit there pleading with the whip, that's a total waste of time. The closer it is to you, the less point there is in trying to ask them to help you. So the same thing here. The Jewish people, they're being attacked by Goyim. So what do? They try to talk to the Goyim and try to pull, you know, political agendas and whatever they do, which are right. A person has to do their hishtadlus, but the Jewish people have to know, everyone has to know, that when we do our hishtadlus so that the Jewish people should be safe and healthy, we're talking to the whip. It's not actually that the Goyim have the choice of what's going to happen to us. We have to go to the king and ask for us to be pardoned. It's really Hashem who will who truly makes the decision about what's going to happen to us. Hashem requires us to do our hishtadlus. It's true. We have to try to influence, try to get us that the Jewish people are safe through physical means, like by staging rallies, voting for the right candidates, whatever the case may be. But in reality, we have to know the thing that really makes what happens to us is Hashem. So that's what it means. The Jewish people will stop relying on the thing that hits them. It means they'll stop relying on the whip. They'll stop talking to world leaders as if they're the ones that really can help them. They'll rely truly on Hashem, because they'll know it's only Hashem who really can help them. So the Ran continues that if a person does tshuva even because bad things are happening to them, it's still accepted by Hashem. As it says, "Ubikashtem mishamas Hashem lekecha matzasi kitzushenu." Batzar lacha, the pasuk says, when things are going bad, matzucha called dvar meila bachas yam, when bad things are happening to you, v'shavta Hashem lekecha, and Hashem will accept your tshuva. You'll do tshuva then, and it says Hashem will accept your tshuva. So the Ran says, one second, I have a question here. It's the Gemara in Yuma says that what's tshuva? What's tshuva shlema? That's if a person sinned, and then they feel bad about it, then they're faced with the exact same situation, and they don't sin the next time, that's full tshuva. It sounds like if a person isn't put in the exact same situation again, they can't ever do a full tshuva. So let's say a person sinned when they were young, and now they're 95 years old, and they can't sin if they tried, or they're on their deathbed. Can you still do tshuva then? Gemara says you can. Gemara says that even at a tasha venosh adaka, a person should do tshuva adaka, which Gemara says ad dichducha shel nefesh. Both persons right about to die, they can do tshuva. So if a person can do a full tshuva when they're about to die, what's the pshat in the Gemara says that you can't do a full tshuva unless you're faced with the same situation again? So the right answer is there's two parts to tshuva. There's one part to tshuva where God forgives your sins. There's another part to tshuva where the sins that you did are turned into mitzvos. So the Ran says, in order for your sins, the sins you've done in the past, to be turned into mitzvos, you have to face the same situation again and prevail. Then it makes it that the sins you did beforehand were like mitzvos. However, if it's just a matter of erasing the avera that you did in the past, then you don't have to face the same situation. You just have to have a true regret, admit what you did, accept to not do it again. Then even if you don't face the same situation, your averas will be forgiven. But the Ran, of course, says it has to be a real tshuva. It can't be a fake out that you just say it and you don't mean it. You have to really do tshuva. The person has to always be searching their ways to see how they can do tshuva, and that their averas should always be in front of them. They should always be thinking about their averas. Like the story of David HaMelech. David HaMelech said, Chatasi negdi tamid. David was always thinking about his avera. What big avera? The avera of Bathsheba. So the Ran says, wait a minute. Gemara says, Kol omer David chata einu l'toa. Gemara says, anyone who says David sinned is making a mistake. So then what sin is David saying he's always looking at? So the Ran explains, when the Gemara says, Kol omer David chata einu l'toa, what that means is, anyone who thinks David sinned like what the Pusuk sounds like he sinned, the Pusuk makes it sound like there was adultery. Anybody who thinks that that's what David did, they're making a mistake. That's not true. There was some element of Avera for someone on David's level, some element of Avera, a little bit of Avera, that the Pusuk, we'll call it for now, blows out of proportion, but it was a very slight Avera, but for someone on David's level, it was considered an Avera. So that's what David was always thinking about. Then the Ran asks, if that's the case, why is it that the Pusuk says David's Avera in a way that wasn't true? Why did it blow it out of proportion? Why didn't the Torah just say David's Avera as it was, which is whatever, some slight little thing? Why does it make it sound like adultery? So the Ran says, because, basically like this, David HaMelech, on his level, the Avera he did on his level was like a regular person doing an act of adultery. Meaning, for someone on, David did a very slight Avera, but for him, on his level, it would be like a regular person doing an Avera of that, of Znus. So, and why would the Torah write it that way? It's writing it that way to let you know that even if you do an Avera that's so terrible, like Znus, Hashem will still accept your tshuva. Like by happened by David, where Hashem accepted his tshuva. Okay, so you see how great tshuva is, and how a person should always keep their averus in front of their eyes at all times. Think about it and do tshuva from it. But once they've done tshuva, they should have bitachon in Hashem, and they shouldn't be afraid anymore. And they should know Hashem forgave their averus. And when bad things come, they can still have bitachon in Hashem. They should know Hashem forgave their averus and shouldn't feel bad. They shouldn't feel worried. And he says, even if bad things are coming, like you see a dangerous situation is arising, or even if there's a punishment on the klal, which is a tremendous chiddush, the Ran says, even if there are bad things happening to klal Yisrael right then, and you're afraid, are you going to be hurt, chas v'shalom? So he says from the Rabbeinu Yonah that if you have bitachon in Hashem, if you trust in Hashem, that Hashem can protect you, or hope to Hashem that He will protect you, that's a special segula to be saved, even when there is a general, call it pogrom, some general bad thing happening to the Jews. Because we know Chazal tell us that even when the Yetzirah is given Rishus L'Hashchis, Eina Mavchim Bin Tzadik L'Rasha, when bad things are happening to the Jewish people in general, and the Yetzirah is given free reign, he can't tell the difference between Tzadikim and Rishayim. Sounds like from the Ran, there's a special schus specifically about having bitachon. If a person hopes to Hashem and puts all his faith in Hashem, that Hashem can save them, then it's a special segula to be saved. And he says, we find many places where people when they hoped to Hashem and they did tshuva, they were saved, like the story of Nineveh and the story of Chizkiah, who was supposed to die, and he did tshuva and he was accepted, and Nebuchadnezzar, where Daniel said, give tzedakah, and he was saved. Many, many stories of people who should have been hurt, but when they did tshuva, so they were saved. And the point is that we have to, the point of this whole drasha is that a person should understand that everything that happens to them in the physical world is because of Hashem, and through our bitachon in Hashem and our faith in Hashem, and knowing that everything comes from Hashem, so through that we will inherit nochilas aretz, will inherit Eretz Yisrael, and we'll get arichas yamim. Okay, that's the end of this chazara. It was a long drasha, so it took a while to chazar, and Ritz Hashem, we will go on to another drasha next week.